Today's program has been brought to you by the Heritage Meat Shop, located in the historic Essex Street Market in New York City. For more information, visit heritagemeatshop.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
You're listening to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. Today, we'll be talking Hyphen Magazine Southern Centric Issue. And in the studio, welcome back today. Nina Fallenbaum, the food editor at Hyphen Magazine. You're back.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I think it's been a year or something.
I'm so glad you're back.
Me too.
Okay, we're going to talk food headlines. You know, we begin each Hot Grease to talk about the latest food headlines. I have to ask, did you watch the Super Bowl? And congratulations to the Baltimore Ravens.
Congratulations. To my surprise, I did watch part of it. I was mainly intrigued because I was hearing what a big food holiday this is, and there's so many snacks being prepared. So for that reason, I did get in on the fun.
Yeah, they say that Super Bowl night, people, on average, you eat about 5,000 calories.
Oh, my God.
I know, that's crazy.
I did my patriotic duty. I ate a bunch of junk.
Speaking of, you know, junk, but people eating right. I can't remember who wrote the article. Maybe you remember. Probably about a week or so ago, there was a great article talking about Japanese school food culture. And I think someone raised a question. It might have been you. Like, how can we do this in the United States? Mm-hmm. You lived in Japan for a while.
I did. I went to graduate school in Tokyo. I lived there for 4 years.
So what do you think about what's happening there in terms of school food and the culture?
I think they're taking it much more seriously than here. I think the biggest difference, the food is much better for school children in public schools, is that they treat it as part of education. It's not part of food company marketing. It's not part of subsidies for pig farmers. It's part of the education curriculum. So as a result, I think their food is much better. And a lot of children grow up knowing more about where their food comes from.
And I'm really excited because, you know, a few weeks ago, I celebrated here on the show President Obama being inaugurated. And I'm waiting to hear or really to see what Michelle Obama is going to do in terms of the next phase of Let's Move. Mm-hmm. Totally transforming, I hope, school food and school lunch and the whole policy piece.
I hope so. It was a great article.
Okay, speaking of food.
So what did you have for Super Bowl?
Super Bowl? It's funny because we're talking about the whole, you know, Hyphen Magazine's Asian American, and I made K-Town wings.
Nice.
So it was like Korean wings. They were so good. Adrian, my husband, actually sent me a recipe. He sent me a recipe from GQ magazine.
Wow.
Yeah. I can't even remember the name. It's a chef that's on the West Coast. I think it's called Father's Lunch.
Yes, in Los Angeles. I've heard of that place.
Oh, you've
heard
of it?
I've never been, but I heard it's amazing.
So the chef there, I did it. If you're listening now and you want to check out the wings and the name of the chef that's escaping me now, you can go to my Instagram page. But the wings were, oh my gosh, so good. What did you make?
We did some shortcuts like frozen samosas. I figured fried and doughy was sort of the theme.
Yeah, pretty much.
We had some, fried fish, samosas. We don't eat that much meat, but we had a lot of fun little snacks.
So, yeah. Adrian, you didn't have any Asian hipster food. So, would you say my wings were Asian hipster? Not really.
Were you wearing skinny jeans while you were making them?
No. I was not wearing skinny jeans. What do you think about this whole term? You know, I brought in today the magazine, the New York Magazine back this summer, did a whole article called, what is it called? Asian hipster cuisine. What do you think about even the term itself?
I don't think it means very much.
What the hell is an Asian hipster? That's number one.
Honestly, I thought that some of the people putting this together had never heard of Asian Americans. Like, they think of Asian as foreigner, can't speak English, you know, all the old stereotypes. So then they encounter these very savvy, American-born, culturally competent, young Asian American chefs, and they have... It's so exotic that it had to be put in its separate category. But actually, this group of chefs is very diverse, and I don't see that much connection. But I guess they're young, and that's what
they're trying to say. Yeah, and everyone in there is not, I mean, I guess they're just calling it a cuisine. And then you have a cuisine, then you have an Asian hipster, because there are a few people that are non-Asian. I guess that's a part of the whole story too.
Definitely. I think that they're maybe it's less a story about Asians and more a story about non-Asians who are willing to accept more complex Asian American food. Whereas 50 years ago, you know, something like bean sprouts was too much to handle, you know, yeah. So then the Asian food had to be more dumbed down. Maybe that's why.
You said something earlier, too. I don't even know. I was like, oh my gosh, don't say this now. We need to say this on air. Why you think the media is focusing on Asian hipster food, particularly in New York City on the East Coast?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think Asian Americans are the fastest growing ethnic group. We're seeing, for various reasons, there is some west to east migration, among which I'm part of that. The West Coast is the traditional sort of homeland of Asian Americans, and more people for school or work or whatever reason are coming out here, bringing their crazy ideas from Hawaii, Seattle, LA, Bay Area. So yeah, that's definitely happening. And now New York City, I think, is the most populous Asian American city, as the last census reported. So it's just, it was an inevitable.
It's like change. You know, how you have the reverse migration with blacks going back to the South, mm-hmm. or coming to the South. It's that same thing now, huh?
Mm-hmm. I think so. I mean, there's certain educational and work opportunities that are only on the East Coast. So a lot of people that grew up in the West Coast or Hawaii just wanting to check it out. And then they're like, I need to eat noodles while I'm here, or mm-hmm. I need to eat some good food. So they start businesses.
Speaking of East Coast superstars, people coming, moving, we have to talk Eddie Hung.
Sure.
You wrote a really great let me say this. I haven't read the book. I did attend a book signing at Greenlight Bookstore this past Thursday or Friday, one day. But you wrote a really great review that made me want to pick up the book.
Oh, cool. You're welcome, Eddie. No, I had fun.
Shout out to Eddie. I don't know if he's ever been on any show on
Eddie
Heritage.
Should come on this. Yeah,
he should be on Hot Grease.
Yes, because exactly. Grease, he's definitely a fan of Grease. I had fun reading the book and writing the review. I mean, it is an Asian American memoir, and so we had to cover it in hyphen. And it's basically a memoir of his early life, a lot of hard times he had growing up in Florida. So yeah,
I guess we should say, tell folks if you're just tuning in, or you know, you've been asleep for the last few months, Eddie Hung is, I call him a provocateur, but his latest book is called Fresh Off the Boat. Mm-hmm. It's a memoir about his life. And he also owns, what is it called?
Bauhaus.
Bauhaus, yeah.
Which is a late night bao or steam bun place on 14th Street, East 14th in Manhattan. So yeah, I mean, he's a noisy chef. And he has a lot of opinions. He's getting ready to rile people up. He has a show on Vice. So, you know, he's Chinese Floridian, as I said in my review.
There you have it. All right, y'all. That's Food Headlines. We're going to take a short break, and we're going to come back and talk the South and more good stuff with Nina. Keep listening to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network.
You're listening to Tell Me by Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings on the heritageradionetwork.org. Woo! The following is a message from the Heritage Meat Shop.
Are you tired of just hearing buzzwords? Do you want to actually take part in the food revolution? Then come on down to the Heritage Meat Shop, located in New York's historic Essex Street Market, on the corner of Essex and Delancey. We have rare breed pork, beef, poultry, lamb, and goat, not to mention charcuterie that'll make you squeal. All raised right, by the right people, so you know they'll taste right. Try the meat that over 100 New York chefs ache for. Come to the Heritage Meat Shop and pick up some revolution today.
For more information, visit heritagemeatshop.com.
Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. We're talking Hyphen Magazine's latest issue. And in the studio is Hyphen's food editor Nina Fallenbaum. Nina, you're also a food and community fellow for the Institute for Agricultural and Trade policy. Glad you're here.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
So, Nina, I want to talk about your experience, either professionally, traveling, or, you know, leisure travel in the South.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of your favorite places to visit?
Well, New Orleans, probably the first. I started going there a few years ago, and I wrote a piece for Hyphen and Grist magazine about Vietnamese and Cambodian shrimpers and crabbers
after
the BP oil spill. So I got to spend time in New Orleans and in Biloxi, and that was amazing. They showed me so much hospitality. I feel like that's a second home. Yeah, and then I've haven't been that much to Florida, but I have some dear friends who are Asian American Floridians. I'm going to get married to an Asian Tennessean. So it's just seemed to have surrounded me. I've been around the communities a little bit in the Delta region. So it's just so much hidden Asian American history in the South.
Would you say that there's a different culture for Asian Americans that are living in the Deep South than in the West Coast?
Yeah, definitely.
How so?
Well, I mean, for one thing, the community is very old. Actually, the first Asian Americans are from the South. The first Asian Americans were Filipinos who jumped off the Spanish galleons into the what's now Louisiana in the 16th century. So we all learn in Asian American history that that's where Asian American history began, was in the Gulf. So there's a sense of confidence of being there for a long time. And they just incorporate the vibe of that area. At the same time, as you know, the racial politics in the South can be very intense. And I think that the people I've met from there, the Asian Americans, are try to be savvy about negotiating that. And they unfortunately, it's like more of a day-to-day thing than I think Asian Americans other part of the country.
I feel like now I see a cultural shift between, particularly, you know, when you go to the South, I'm just going to be very honest. Mm-hmm. There's usually, you know, white people live on this side of town. The Latinos are on this side of town. People don't intermingle. But I'm seeing now in particular so many articles almost every week about Beaufort Highway in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. It's like all of a sudden every food writer or food blogger has discovered Beaufort Highway.
That's
and Beaufort
funny.
Highway in Atlanta is, you know, huge Asian population, but that's been there forever.
Yeah.
And what I'm seeing is, what's so great is that food is being the great, you know, bringing everyone together.
And I was at Southern Foodways Alliance symposium a few years ago that kind of really highlighted Asian American contributions. They gave an award to Peter Nguyen, who works on the Gulf, and they featured a lot of Asian American restaurateurs and farmers and stuff. I mean, yeah, people, it's great. I mean, I think that Asian Americans in the South prove that these race wars are so ridiculous because the rules for the racism are so idiosyncratic that sometimes Asian Americans get to be on this side or on that side, or you get to be over there or over there. I think that they're sort of like forcing a question on some long-held beliefs. And they're just Southerners, like wonderful hospitality, wonderful food, and yeah, a lot of rich culture.
So speaking of food, do you mix or have you mixed the whole Southern, since you're, you know, your soon-to-be husband is from Kentucky, so I know
Tennessee.
Why am I saying, what part of Tennessee?
Nashville,
Nash Vegas. Do you get to infuse Southern and Asian food in the kitchen anytime?
that's funny. Well, yeah, fried chicken is an important part of our household, but at the same
time, is fried chicken really Southern?
Yeah, probably not. You think, I don't know its beginnings, but I think it's loved more in the South than anywhere else. I mean, we have it on the West Coast, but people aren't.
I think it's a great American food.
Yeah, I've never seen people more excited about it than Southerners. One of my best friends, as I said, is Chinese Floridian, and she and I cook together a lot, and I would say that her food brings a rich, like a, she loves the really rich flavors, like sweet and sour and salty. Like it's not understated. So
fried chicken, that's it.
What else? Yeah, he was a little bit not allowed to eat some of the classic Southern foods health reasons. So
you have to infuse some of those things, huh?
I guess so. Yeah. I'm I'm studying it.
Brian Terry, our friend Brian Terry, has some great Southern influence and Asian stuff in all of his cookbooks.
Uh-huh. And there's a lot of overlaps, like sweet potatoes.
Yes.
Of course, the greens. These are all these are items that there's a lot of Asian recipes for, and they're also well-loved Southern foods.
All right, good guys. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to talk about, get in depth, get into it, the magazine, Hyphen.
Cool.
The South. I'm going to take a short break and come back with more Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network.
Thanks.
This one's called Make It Good to Me by Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings on the Heritage Radio Network.org.
Every Wednesday at noon, Dorothy Cann Hamilton, founder and CEO of the International Culinary Center, interviews the top chefs in the world on Chef Story. Hear from chefs like Christina Tosi.
I'm going to be the best pastry cook this restaurant's ever seen.
Francis Malman.
Cooking with fire, it's very feminine, it's very fragile.
And Jacques Pepin.
I was invited to work at the White House for John Kennedy.
Learn how the greats become great every Wednesday at 12 p.m. on Chef Story. HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. Remember, you can check out all of our show archives and show listings on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. We're talking Hyphen Magazine with Nina Fallenbaum. Nina, okay, so some people may be like, what the heck is Hyphen Magazine? Tell us.
Okay, we are an independent arts, politics, culture magazine. We were started 10 years ago in the San Francisco Bay Area, and we've been nominated a few times for an Utney Independent Press Award. And yeah, we started the food section in 2009, but before that we covered a lot of arts, skateboarders, drag queens, muralists, whatever we think is interesting and unexpected is covered in Hyphen.
So, how did this whole Southern issue come about?
Well, it's been something I've been pushing for a while, ever since I wrote that New Orleans article. We also profiled before oral histories of Chinese American grocers after Reconstruction. We've been kind of like following this story for a while, so... I was finally successful in my lobbying campaign to get a whole issue.
Oh, so we can no. Thank you, hand claps to you for
no,
this.
No, everybody, it was a group effort.
One of the first articles in here, I will say one of the things that I love about Hyphen Magazine, I have about six now. Every time I see you, you're like, oh, I have a magazine for you. And this mm-hmm. time, you know what? I am not going to ask you for a magazine. I'm going to go ahead and donate and sign up for a subscription.
Yay,
I think people
thanks.
Should do it. The photos in here are absolutely gorgeous. The graphics, gorgeous. The first article I see here is called A Sweet Gig. And this is designer Jenna Park. What is she talking about in here? I haven't read this one yet. Is she a is she making desserts?
I believe so. You know, I haven't.
Oh, this is a Whimsy and Spice girl. Oh yeah,
yeah. I mean, that's yeah. We have a section profiling entrepreneurs. I mean, I have a lot of love for Heritage Radio Network because you guys are independent media too. It's not easy. We're always hustling, but at least we can do what we want.
What are some of your favorites in this issue?
Well, besides the food section, we have a really great article about Asian Americans that have attended HBCUs. I think that's a really fun topic that hasn't been explored yet. We also have, there's an ish, I have to see it in front of me. Oh yeah, the part in the food section is called, it's called Behind the Fried Rice Curtain, and it's about a Chinese restaurant owners in the Deep South and what they went through. Oh, the other one that I love is about Asian American politicians on the rise in Southern politics. the good, the bad, and the ugly. We covered all kinds of...
See, the illustration's hot.
We covered everyone from Bobby Jindal to BJ Pack, Bobby Scott, Ramey Coe, a lot of great folks across the country who are really rising in politics in the South.
Love it. So I looked at the list of where you guys folks can pick up Hyphen. Girl, it's like everywhere on the West Coast. Where is it? Anywhere in the South? I know that there are a few places in New York City.
Oh, that's a good question. I don't think we should be more in the South. I mean, we've done a much more informal hand-to-hand, like we meet people at universities or we try to get it into different bookstores. But, you know, if we have any listeners who are in the South or have connections to bookstores or community centers or anywhere, help us get in there. Yeah, we'd love to be. We just historically don't have that many staff there.
So what's the easiest way for folks to connect to the magazine?
Go online, hyphenmagazine.com, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and sign up for a print subscription. I mean, the internet is great, but you just miss out on so much of the art and photography that you can only get with a print subscription.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and I want to talk a little bit more about the whole HBCU article and the profiles in the magazine. I'm a proud HBCU grad, so I want to talk a little bit about that. We're going to take a break. Keep listening if you're listening live to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. We will be back in a sec.
Got a Thing on My Mind by Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings on the Heritage Radio Network.org.
Like what you hear so far? Support the network and become a member. Membership helps us bring you the best food radio in the world and gives you access to thousands of dollars in discounts at the sustainably minded businesses that support us. To become a member, visit heritageradionetwork.org today.
Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. My show today is being engineered by the fabulous Joe G. Let me give a Southern Girls hug to Roberta's Restaurant, located at 261 Moore Street in Brooklyn, New York. The location of two sustainable shipping containers known as Heritage Radio Network. All right, folks, if you're just tuning in live, we're chatting Hyphen Magazine, their Southern issue, and Nina Fallenbaum, food editor of the magazine, is right here in the studio. So, Nina, this is like the first Monday of Black History Month. There's so many cool things going on. I think I read today that Rosa Parks' stamp. Mm-hmm. I think today's her birthday, actually.
Yeah, they said 100th anniversary of her birth.
Oh, wow. And then like a commemorative stamp came out today.
Oh, great.
Honoring her. But speaking of HBCUs, HBCUs or historically black colleges and universities, there are over 100 of them in the United States, and most of them are in the South. Mm-hmm. I graduated from Clark Atlanta University. Shout out to all my Panthers that are listening in. But I was just so honored, and really not honored, just happy that you guys wrote an article in this. Someone wrote an article. Michelle Wong actually recorded three profiles. It's called A Different World, What It's Like to Be an Asian American Student at a Historically Black College. This is so funny. I'll tell you my experience. As I was coming over here today and earlier, I'm like, do I remember any Asian students in the Atlanta University Center? And the Atlanta University Center is made up of Morehouse, which once was Morris Brown, Spelman, Clark Atlanta University. I'm sure there were Asian students, but I don't remember any. But what are your thoughts on this article and the profiles?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was Nicole Wong who wrote it. She did a phenomenal job. I first became aware, I visited a friend in college, a dear high school friend who was going to Howard in D.C., and I stayed in her dorm, and one day she took me to class, and she introduced me to this very nice girl exchange student from Malaysia, and I'm chatting with her, and we were laughing afterwards, like, did she exactly know what she was getting into to come to America and go to Howard? And it was just so exotic and interesting that there would, you know, be, and she was an Asian foreign student that went to Howard. And in the years since, I've met here and there some Asian Americans, many of whom are really impressive community leaders, have graduated HBCU. So I just think it's a phenomenon that needs more telling because... Yeah, it's. I kind of wish I went to an HBCU. I mean, my friends who graduated them, they many had a really empowering experience, and they didn't feel sort of beat down like people went to large anonymous institutions that give a lot less support. So, I don't know. I think they deserve press, and we tried to give it to them in Hyphen.
And I also think too, and tell me how you feel about this. I mean, you know. I went to a CAU alumni event a few years ago here in New York City, and one of the topics was, you know, the changing enrollment of the institutions. A lot of HBCUs are making an assertive effort now to attract people of color because it's so competitive now. I mean, you know, 30, 40 years ago, majority of black college students were going to historically black colleges and not, you know, regular universities. But now people have options.
Yeah.
So they're realizing that, you know, an Asian American student or a Latin student can have a wonderful experience at a historically black college. So I will tell you that I actually heard from the president's mouth mm-hmm. that they were doing a lot of recruitment. Some people feel a certain way about that, but I don't, because I feel like, you know, there are, as you said before, a lot of leaders and people mm-hmm. who have gone through HBCUs who go on to do great work mm-hmm. Around the world.
Well, one of the guys we profile in there, he said it very succinctly. He said, I wanted to learn about civil rights and history and be active in civil rights, and who better to learn it from than African Americans. He just went straight to the point. And I think that that's a intellectual reason some Asian Americans are choosing HBCUs.
Yeah, you have two of the people that are profiled actually are grads of Spelman, and one a law student at Howard. How are you? Love it. Yeah. Thanks. Shout out to all my HBCU grads.
Yeah.
You guys should totally pick up this article. It's very very interesting, very informative. Nina, thanks so much for coming on Hot Grease.
Thanks for having me. I hope our issue passes your muster as a
always. As a I wouldn't expert. Look, I wouldn't even had you on the show if I was like, oh no, I love it. I'm totally glad. And give folks Hyphen's website and
yeah. We're hyphenmagazine.com. Check us out on Facebook. We have a really active Facebook page. You can get updated on a lot of news. You don't have to be Asian American to subscribe. This is a arts magazine, politics magazine, and we'd love to have everyone participate. So subscribe.
There you have it.
Thank you.
Listeners, Nina, thanks so much. Listeners, thanks so much for tuning in to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. Remember, you can join me here every Monday at 3:30 Eastern Time. But until then, always take the road less traveled.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.